Open your hearts.
Amen. Amen. We declare this morning that we are winners. Amen. Let's declare this together. Let's verbalize this together. We're going to declare that we are winners because of who we are in Jesus Christ. So I think we can put it on the screen, or if not, repeat after me. We will win because we believe the Word of God says about who we are, what we have, what we can do in Christ Jesus. Amen. And walk and agree with God. Amen. Amos chapter, yes, that's it. So we agree this morning with what God says, and we are winners. We are overcomers. Amen. 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 All right, this morning I want to talk to you about God's sovereignty and man's responsibility. There's 2 points. So the first one is, our God is sovereign. Our God is sovereign. Our God is sovereign. I want to read a few scriptures first to begin with, and we're going to start with Colossians chapter 1, followed by Ephesians. We're going to read what Colossians says about Jesus. It says this, for by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominion or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. All right, so this is the God that we serve. Amen. Amen. He is sovereign. He is way greater to whatever I am, whatever my capacity, whatever my ability. That's just who he is. That's just the God that we worship. That's the God we believe in. That's the faith that we have, is this in this God, Jesus Christ our Lord, who made all things and created all things and uphold all things by the word of his power. Amen. And yet, even as we talk about the sovereignty of God this morning, we're going to see that there's man's responsibility. It's almost like a paradox here. You know, we say that God is sovereign, yet God is building his church, and he wants you and I to co-labor with him and to be one with him, to be united with him and become part of his plan and purpose. All right, and he requires us, as we just read from the book of Joshua, to make a choice, to make a decision, just as Daniel knew that God was sovereign, but he made a choice to not defile himself, and when in times of crisis, he chose to turn to God and believe that the sovereign God had the answer that he needed. All right, but knowing that the fact that God is sovereign, we know that is beyond our abilities, beyond how smart we are, how skillful we are, how able we are, how intellectual we are. God is way beyond that. God is way beyond that, and God is in total control. Amen. Amen. I want to read Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 to 6. It says this, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, this is Paul writing to the church of Ephesus, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There's one body, one Spirit, just as we were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. Amen. Amen. All right, amen. So He is above everything. He's through everything, through all, and in all. Nothing was made that was made except the Word by God's authority, power, sovereignty. Amen. Isaiah chapter 46 verse 10 says this, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient time, things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. Amen. So I want to say this morning that God is sovereign. And sometimes we don't understand many things, but yet in the midst of that, God is in control. We can rest assured in His Word, that His Word says that He knows the end from the very beginning. He knows how it's going to end. He knows the whole picture. See, God, in His foreknowledge, He foretells and foretells and therefore destined according to His foreknowledge. And so God knows what's happening in the world. No, God knows our situation. God knows our circumstances. And He's above that. And this morning I'm saying we need to learn how to put our trust and our hope in this God. You know, in the midst of crisis in the world, yet God is selecting His men sovereignly. Sovereignly in the nations of the world. Look at America, how God is using people that are rising in the hour, in this hour, and making such an impact and change in the whole nation. So we see the sovereignty of God when we look all around. When we look at what happened to Malaysia, we see the sovereignty of God. Who would have thought that after 61 years of the same government and corruption and all kinds of negative things, Malaysia's turned around and is turning around. And more we're seeing things going to get better and better and brighter because we serve a sovereign God. Yet, we as His people need to pray. Amen. It's interesting, isn't it? But yet, God is sovereign. That means God has a plan for every nation and it will come to pass. You know, whether sometimes we want to put it on ourselves and everything, but yet God goes beyond that. He is sovereign. You know, I want to make a few declarations first from Scriptures and I'll share with you a few thoughts. I want to read from Acts chapter 17, verse 24 to 34. And this is what it says about God. Again, we read Colossians, we read Ephesians, and now we're going to read Acts 17. And it just tells us the beauty of the God that we serve. And this is what it says from verse 24. It says this, God who made the world and everything in it, since He is the Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is He worshipped with man's hand as though He needed anything, since He gives life to all life, breath, and all things. And He has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings. Okay? So there's a few points here that we can see here. Number one, I just want to declare this as a declaration because this is who God is. Okay? Number one, God is the creator of all things. He made all things by the word of His power. Nothing was made that was made except by His word. Jesus is the Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was God. The Word was God. He is the Word. He is God. Everything is upheld and everything that He sends will be accomplished. Number two, He is the Lord of and possessor of heaven and earth. All right? So He possesses heaven and earth. Heaven is His throne. The earth is His footstool. Point number three, God is not contained in any dwellings. In the book in Kings, we found how Solomon says, talks about how, you know, is there anything that we can, himself cannot contain how big God is. Do you think that the temples made by human hands can contain Him? But thanks be to God that because of the blood of Jesus, He chose to make us His dwelling place and made us a temple so that He would dwell in our midst. Hallelujah. Amen. Point number four, God is complete as in, and is in His fullness on His own. That means there's nothing we can do heart. He is God, regardless of what we do. This is who He is, all right? And number five, He gives life to all people. Everything that has breath, everything that lives, everything that is called, anything that's alive, that's out there, created and given life by God, because He is the source of life. Point number six, God sets pre-appointed times in our lives. God knows. God knows His timing. God knew exactly when He was going to come and die on the cross for us and rise from the dead. God also knows exactly when He's coming back again for His church. God has pre-appointed times. When God gave a promise to Abraham about the son, He says, I will, according to the appointed time, to the time of life, I will come to you and you will bear a child. This is your promise, son. And point number seven, God predetermines where man should live and dwell. All right, He appointed times and boundaries where man should dwell. Amen. That's why we cannot cross the ancient boundaries. We've got to go back to the ancient landmarks that God has set for His people. Amen. That's why Australia is going to thrive. And that's why Australia is going to become a better nation, and Australia will turn back to God, because Australia will return to those ancient boundaries that has made this nation great and go back to the biblical principle values of families and life. In Jesus' name, amen. So this is what I want to say as a declaration this morning, that this is a God we serve. And oftentimes, because we've gone through so many things in life, we have experiences in life, we start to depend on the flesh a bit more because, you know, we did it yesterday, so I suppose we can do it the next day, and the next day, and so on and so forth. We got to come to a point where we realize that sometimes we really don't know what is the answer, but God has the answers. You know, I want to share a few of my own, how
testing. All right. See, despise failing technology, yet God is sovereign. Okay? All right. You know, and when I look back into my own life, as I became a Christian, I'll keep it to the point. But basically, we moved to Australia in 2000. My family moved in Australia back in 2005. At that time, when we had just come, obviously my parents were looking for places and houses to buy so that we could live. And so the first places that we looked into was in Booragoon. Not me, my parents anyway. Found this really good house, very close to Garden City, close to the school we wanted to go to. Very convenient, very strategic, very easily accessible to the city. It was a good location. Was a good place. And the house was only about 400 and something thousand at that time, 2004. That was good price when we look back to what happened, a few months after that. And so we all really liked the house, but there was a few things here and there. Because of that, people were saying, to my parents, why are you rushing so quickly? There are plenty of other houses. The market will go down. You don't need to rush. So he took that advice and didn't buy it. And then a few months later, the market price went up. Okay, so we looked at a few more houses. We had a few places in Winthrop. Beautiful house, big house, loved it. We all liked it. And then here and there, put an offer on the house, didn't work out. So anyway, pulled out of there. We said, okay, never mind, that's fine. Then parents thought, okay, maybe let's build a house. How's that? Okay. So parents bought a piece of land in Canningville. Okay. But the problem with the land in Canningville was that they didn't release the green title. It was only released about 2 or 3 years after my parents bought the land. So that means even though they've put an offer and everything, the land is entitled to us or blocked down to my parents, they couldn't build anything. So, as a result, we had to look further. So, looking further, we found a place called Obingrove, okay? So, it was interesting because it was further away, Now, when you look back, it's not really that far anymore, anyway. But at that time, you thought school was 5 minutes away, Garden City was right there, the city is like, you know, just, you know, 15 minutes down, you know, drive, and it's very convenient. We thought, oh man, we have to go all the way to Coburn, catch a bus to the train station, from the train station, go there, and then catch another bus to go to school. It's like, not very appealing, okay? So we went further out, and the land was just cost a lot. But my parents loved the land, and they went for it. We as children, no choice. We say, yeah, wherever you go, I go. Your God is my God. Your people shall be... Okay, no, maybe not that. But we just followed anyway. And so we went there. And as a result, I begin to see how it was from that, you know, I eventually was going to uni, went to Curtin, and obviously found a job in McDonald's down in Success. And this is where my journey began, or I should say, this is where God had been working. This is where I met Adrian and Grace. I met the life group, was it A? Life group A. And God began to work in my life through life group A. And eventually I get to meet you lovely people. And I really was impressed with all of you, to be very honest. I'm not joking or anything like that. Otherwise I wouldn't be here, right? Okay, I remember coming here in the morning classes, 7 a.m. and just coming as a visitor, because I knew Adrian was sharing one morning, and so I came in my sportswear. Anyway, but I see how, in God's sovereignty, He knew. I wasn't necessarily looking for God, but in God's sovereignty, He brought me to where I needed to be. He brought me to the right people and at the right time, and all these things happened, and God began to work in my life, and I began to respond to what God was doing. And thanks to His grace, I got born again, baptized, filled in the Holy Spirit, joined Evangel as my church, my local house, and the rest is history. All right? Okay, amen. Well, why don't you give glory for that, God, for that? But my point is, what I'm trying to say is that I'm not the one who pulled the strings. I'm not the one who was looking for God and making the decisions as if I knew exactly what I was doing. In fact, I was clueless. Right? But God is so. God knows. So I want to encourage you this morning. Sometimes we look at our situations and we don't have it together. We don't have the answers, you know, and we don't even know anything. But yet, God, He knows. And we got to choose to trust in His sovereignty. Another story. I was in Malaysia last year, as you know, for 3 months. And I was there. Now, The closest experience that I ever had close to the Bible is a little bit funny, but it was true nevertheless, is how many of you know of you, I think it's Daniel chapter, was it 4? 4, when he talks about the man with the three men, or the fourth man appeared in the fire, right? So the three men in the fire and the fourth man appeared. Do you know that story? Are you with me so far? All right, so what happened in that story was that... obviously, King Nebuchadnezzar calls down for worship, the sound of the orchestra and everybody must bow down to the statue that he has put up, okay? And then for those who do not worship and bow down to this will be thrown into the furnace, a fiery furnace. Is that right? And so these three men, convicted and chose not to bow to any idols, were thrown into the fiery furnace. All right? But what happened in the midst of that is God was sovereign and appeared, protected them, and nothing actually hurt them. No smell, no any signs of burn or anything like that. They were just completely preserved and protected. And so I share this is because when I was in Ipoh at that time, you know, I remember this particular morning I was having the there's a Burmese family with whom I was continuously in touch, and we were. You know, we're doing Bible studies. And in fact, we were doing the book of Daniel. And in fact, we had just done chapter 4. Very interesting, isn't it? Okay. All right. And anyway, I thought, you know, oh, you know, they're coming down. We're going to have Bible study. I'd like to do something nice. You know, I think Serene at that time was in Perth. So I was kind of there, left all alone. Okay. Not all alone, but, like, you know, there was, you know, I had the whole kitchen for myself. Anyway, so I thought I'll make some waffles. Okay? So I had this big commercial borrowed from which the church has. So I put it on and I plugged it in. All right. So I made the beta and everything and the mix. And then I started and just before the Burmese family boys came for the Bible study, I thought, oh, I'll start cooking. So I started making the first one and as they came in, they said, "You smell, is it burning smell?" I'm like, "Ah, oh, no, don't worry, it's nothing. I think it's I can't even remember what I said." So I said, no, don't worry, I don't smell it. I think it's nothing, don't worry about it. After a few minutes, 5, 10, 15 minutes, became evident because I could really smell it now. So I was curious and I thought, what is that? So I looked around and looked at the power plug, and the power plug had actually caught fire, right? And so the reason why was because that big machine, you don't plug it into a multi-plug before plugging into the machine, right? So you got to put it straight into the power socket, because those multi-plugs are not certified and they get burned, anyway, which is what happened. So this is a true story. So that thing caught fire and I panicked. I was like, and to be very honest with you, I was thinking, if I don't get this through, this whole place will be burnt down. I just really, because when I looked at it, followed all around, all next to it were just power plugs. I just thought, what if everything just caught fire? I don't know. I can't tell how fast it would spread, how fast. I don't know what could happen. So I wasn't sure what to do, because actually there would have been a simpler solution, but didn't think of it at the time. But that machine didn't have an on and off switch. It had just, you just change the temperature. So I don't know if you lower the temperature, they would actually consider it off. But I thought, I have to unplug the thing out from it. But how do we do it? There's fire. I don't want to touch it with my hands, because what if that thing explodes? So I had the few boys with me, and we were like, what do we do? What do we do? Fire extinguisher. I knew, but in the moment, I couldn't think straight. I knew it was behind the door afterwards, but that doesn't help when you know it afterwards, right? You'll remember it afterwards. You got to do it before. I was like, we don't have fire extinguisher here. We don't have fire extinguisher here. What do we do? Water. Let's throw water on it. But what if it burns? What if it's electrical? We were like, oh, no, oh, no. So we rushed and rushed into the kitchen. I took a walk and I was filling it with water. I was wanting to fill it with a lot of water so that the water would really, really... Anyway, I know. I know you would have done better if you were me. But anyway, we just weren't sure what to do. And so one of the Burmese boy had a cup of water and just went whoosh, on it, over it. And it settled down. So the fire actually went off. So if you want to put the next... I don't know if you can see this, but this is a picture of the burnt power plug. I just want to make sure that I'm not making a story here. I'm actually telling you a real true story. Maybe turn off the lights. How do you do this? Okay. Lights. Down lights. Front lights. Off. How is that? You see that? Yeah. So this is happening in a very short amount of time, and we just panicked, but throwing water, definitely. I knew at the back of my mind that was not safe because it's electrical. But what can you do, right? I didn't want to sit down there, watch that thing burn down, and really, whatever the worst could have been. But the fire went off, and we all looked at each other, and we went like, whew. And so we quickly unplugged the whole thing. We used some brooms and things and tried to unplug it, and we were like, whoa. What an experience. It was a frightening experience, a very frightening experience for me. And then I said to them, do you know we just studied Daniel chapter 4? Man, the fourth man just, and really, there was only two Burmese family. There was only three of us. There was myself, there was Solomon, and Daniel. So it was three of us, and we felt like, man, God, the fourth man must have really appeared. And so you see, what I'm trying to say is, in our inability to think straight, in our silliness and doing the wrong thing, all right, God is still sovereign, all right? So the worst could have happened, but everything was just fine, okay? All right, so, amen. God is sovereign. God is sovereign. You know, so sometimes we look at our situation. Maybe there are people that are here this morning, and we look at our situation as if, you know, and it looks very negative. It looks like very impossible. But I want to declare this morning that God is sovereign, and He goes beyond our flesh. Maybe we have family issues. Maybe we have all kinds of things, relational issues, and all these kinds of maybe health issues. But God is beyond all of that. And He goes beyond our flesh, beyond our abilities, and He can surpass that because He's sovereign. All we have to do is believe and trust in Him, isn't it? That's one thing to say, but that's one thing to actually do. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly more than we can think or even ask. Is that true? All right? But the thing is, we've got to read the few verses first, how He talks about. We've got to be grounded, rooted in His love so that we may know His love, the length, depth, width, and the height of His love that passes all knowledge. And to this God, who is strengthening inside of us, who dwells in inside of us, is able to do exceedingly abundantly more than we can think or even ask. With men, this thing is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Amen? So I want to declare this morning that God is sovereign. You know, in Matthew chapter 5, we read that the man who was demon-possessed, and he was he kept this, if I can have the next slide, please, and he kept the whole area bound. Okay, there was fear in this place. There was a legion in this man, which means, you know, many, many, many demons. It was area and bound, ruled by the enemy. The devil, used this place to create fear in the region. I mean, can you imagine this guy would going crazy, cut himself off and crying out and doing all kinds of freaky stuff. I'm sure the people would have been fear him. No one could stop him. No one could tame him. Looks like it was hopeless and impossible. But Jesus, having crossed over, rebuked the demon, and the demon left. And as a result, that man, life was completely transformed, touched. And he wanted to follow Jesus. Jesus said, no, stay back. Go and tell your families and go and tell the people what God did for you. So he went to Decapolis, all right, 10 cities, and began to proclaim and tell what God began to do. So when we look at this story here, we look like it's hopeless, it's gloomy, it's fearful. It's everything is just impossible. There's not just one demon. Now you have thousands of demons we're talking about here, right? And so, but yet, God is beyond that. So sometimes we look at our situation, we look like it's a little bit like this. It can't be done. It's too difficult. But with God, it is possible. Amen. God is sovereign. God is above all. So I want to pray this morning for everyone that is here. You know, in your heart and in your life, you felt maybe there are certain situations, maybe some relationships, maybe some things at homes that's taking place, or maybe you have a health condition. But I want to declare this morning that God is above all of these things, beyond our abilities, beyond our strength. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We speak to the mountains right now, mountains to be removed in the name of Jesus. And we believe right now that God, our God, is able. And if God is for us, then who can be against us? So we speak hope to everyone in this room here that though it looks impossible with man, but with God, it is possible. We believe and declare this morning in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. The next part of my message, which I'll quickly talk through, is man's responsibility. Man's responsibility. We say that God is in control, but yet we have a responsibility. What is our responsibility? God is sovereign. The Bible tells us that He will begin a good work, is faithful, and He will complete it. Isn't He? He's sovereign. But at the same time, when we've read quite a number of times already, Philippians chapter 2, it talks about, now obey, not only in my presence, but much more in my absence, that you may work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to do His good pleasures. That's Philippians. Is that right? So we talk about how God works, but yet at the same time, even though God is all powerful, yet he wants from us cooperation. He wants us to work with him, to be one with him, to be united with him. God is looking for people whom he can be, who would be loyal to him. God is building a church for what? I mean, he could do it all by himself, but he wants to build up a church to be a part of him so that together with Christ, we can inherit the promises of God. I mean, that is just beautiful, but our responsibility is left with us. That means we choose. That means we make the choices. We can choose God or we can choose to not choose God. That is yours and my responsibility. But God, in the midst of all of that, is in total control. But yet, God demands a response. Okay? Now, so that's what I'm saying here is God, we have to work out what God works in us. But what is God working in us? Okay? Now, I want to use this Matthew chapter 25 really quickly. I won't read through it, but it's found from verse 14 to 35. Okay? And this talks, it's a parable of the talents, okay? And so I'll put a quick summary there of what's roughly there, you know, and this tells us how God gives to us. God gives to us according to our ability. That means God will give each and every one of us the number of talents according to your ability and my ability. It will be different. That's why we don't have to compete with one another. If you can work with five talents, then God gives us with five talents. We've got to be faithful with five talents. God gives us the one talent. It doesn't matter. That is our responsibility. Work with that one talent. You'll be a good and faithful servant. Is that true? All right? So God gives us. He knows what we can handle. So that means God gives us something. But we, in turn, are accountable and responsible for what God gives to us. In fact, when we, go to be with the Lord, eventually when Jesus comes and sets his reins and when God judges us believers, he will judge us based according to our works and what we've done with what he has given to us. Is that true? And so God does require something from us. What is our responsibility? Our responsibility is to take what he has given us and work with what he has given to us. All right, and not expect, you know, God to do things for us when he has given us the job to do. And so here we find this statement here, we gain what we use, but we lose what we don't use. All right, and so whatever God gives to us, that's our responsibility. You know, we don't have to worry about, oh, but what if I did not know this, I did not know that. God knows. So our responsibility is when God gives us whatever talent it is. In this case, we talk about talents. It means talks about gifts. It talks about your grace. It talks about other things. But I want to bring it to a little bit more than just that. Is what has God given to us? It means what truth has God given to us? And with the truth that God gives to us, what do we do with the truth that God gives to us? Does that make sense? I mean, God is sovereign. He's true regardless whether we are true or not, right? But yet he gives us truth. He gives us his word. We call it the now word, the preceding word, the daily bread. And so God gives us the truth, but our responsibility, knowing that God is sovereign, is to abide and stick with what he has said. Is that true? All right? So there are certain levels of truth. But as we continuously hear, day by day, we get progressive truth. The truth that we hear is getting more and more and more. It's updated. It's clearer. It's setting the pathway. The destiny, the purpose, the will of God is becoming clearer and clearer. That means I cannot stick with the one truth that Martin Luther received when he broke out and started the Lutherans and started the first Reformation. Is that true? That's true. I need that truth, but this is not it. I cannot just base my life on some past truth. I got to hear now, okay, I received that truth, all right? We are walking in that truth, but there's more than just that truth. Is that true? And so what I'm trying to say here is that it means that a God is actually speaking to us. All right, and so if you look at the history and the progression of the church, truth after truth had been restored. And as truth restored, we as the church are required to take this truth and take this and walk with that truth and work with that truth. Now, on a personal level, is when the word of truth comes to us, that's our responsibility. In fact, the Bible tells us, you know, if you do something, you know it's wrong to you. If you don't do it, to you, that is sin. Because you know it, but you don't do it, to you, it's sin. And so what we are saying, what I'm saying, is that God reveals truth. So let's open our ears. Let's open our ears whenever we come here and we receive the word of truth, the words that sets us free. What is God saying now? You know, and especially we talk about worship. So let's put away everything that's in the way, that's standing in the way to worship Him, and let's worship Him. What is God saying now? What is God saying? What is God speaking? You know, and so as we become sensitive and hooked to what God is saying to the churches, what God is saying to this local church, what God is speaking to me, what God is putting in my heart, begin to listen to that and begin to see how it all comes together. Write it down. Turn it into prayer. You know, God doesn't give us everything and anything. God knows how much we can handle, all right? And if we happen to claim that we knew everything and God gave us everything that we needed to know, God knows we couldn't handle that because pride will come in, we'll cut other people's off, and we think we're better. But God knows. So that means don't try to say, what if I need to know more? Yes, it will come. But before that, just work. Let us work together with what God is saying and dealing in our lives now. And as we continue to work with it, God gives us more. God knows how much we can handle. Okay? So our responsibility equals to our accountability to Him. God is sovereign. Okay? God is all powerful. But I have a responsibility to make a decision to, when I hear His voice, not to harden our hearts. Today, when you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. It means let the truth outwork itself in our lives. Let's work with it. But in order to do that, we have to ask ourselves, what is God saying? Do I know? Can I write it down? Can I verbalize it? What is it that it's doing in my heart right now? You know, and sometimes, you know, the best way to know whether you've thought about it or you understand what it is to be able to verbalize it. When you're able to say it out with your mouth, then you know you've thought it through, you think about it, it's worked inside of you and me. Is that true? So think about it. Can you verbalize it? Can you say it? Can you speak it? The more, and if you find you're stumbling and things like that, then you know, okay, you've got a bit more work to do in this area. All right? So let's really ask God this morning, because we are all going to maturity, we're all going to perfection, but the first responsibility, there's many other responsibilities, but the first responsibility is the amount of truth that God gives to me now is it's my responsibility to work and change according to that truth that is applicable right now to me. And I can choose to not work with it, and then I put myself in a place where God doesn't work works in my life, and I'm irresponsible, I come out of God's covering and all kinds of things. But I declare this morning that I see that everyone here this morning is making a choice to say, yes, Lord, the truth of God is bubbling out of my heart, and the word of God, the word is alive to me. I declare the word of God is life. This is the living word. The living word is bringing life, is bringing truth. The truth is opening our hearts. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. You're clearing our hearts. Mountains are being removed in Jesus' name. The walls are being broken. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, that word is finding fruit, is outworking itself. Thank you, Lord. We make the choice this morning for this to become a reality in our lives as we submit to your complete sovereignty. So we say right now, those who are in need of miracles in Jesus' name, let your miracle come forth, because God is sovereign and we just submit and believe and trust in His sovereignty. Our God is able. Our God is able. And because He is able, He empowers us and you and I are able. Amen. Say this with me. We will win because we believe what the Word of God says about who we are, what we have, and what we can do. In Jesus' name, we serve a sovereign God. Even though we don't understand it, but God knows. And in times to come, if you and I stay true, if you and I stay true with what God has given us, as little as it may look, more will be given. If we're faithful with what's another person, God will give us more. It's very true. I find the more I listen to pastor talk, there's so much revelation. I take it, then it helps me see clearer. And I can get more and more and more, and I can see connections happening and things like that. So it's very important to do that too. Amen? All right, God bless you. I'm sure your hearts have been blessed this morning, knowing that God is the God of impossible, and He is able to take us through in life. Amen? Let's trust in Him and believe that He can do all things. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord. God bless you. But what I want to tell you is tomorrow we'll be signing our down payment for Byford Church. Byford property tomorrow at 6 o'clock. God, including GST. Okay. Okay, God bless you. Have a wonderful day.